Music from Bob Dylan right there. It's his birthday. Happy birthday, Bob. And, you know, fits in with our little Woody Guthrie tribute right there. That's my favorite version of Don't Think Twice, It's All Right. It's off of the No Direction Home soundtrack, which if you haven't seen the film, I highly recommend it. Talk a lot about Woody Guthrie's influence on Bob Dylan and his early days in the folk scene. Good stuff, let me tell you. Before that, we had Jonatha Brooke off of The Works with My Sweet and Bitter Bowl, and we started off with Billy Bragg and Wilco doing California Stars off of Mermaid Avenue. I am Juliet Frumholt, and I am going to do something that I don't think I've ever actually done in this exact way, which is I'm going to hand the reins over to Glad Girl Shelley for a few minutes completely to We're usually on the mic together, but this is kind of a momentous occasion. She's going to do her first live interview here on the show. We've got some cool stuff happening in the Miami Valley, and I'm going to hand things over to Shelley and let you introduce your guest. And
all right,
you'll hear from me a little later.
All right, my guest is Bob Dylan. No, I'm kidding. Happy birthday,
Bob.
I'm
not going to be able to live up to that. Happy birthday, my wife.
Oh,
it's her birthday too.
Mr. Justin Howard here from the Black Box Improv Theater. Justin,
yeah,
a proper happy birthday to your lovely wife.
My wife did not record any music though, so we're not going to be able to play anything.
But okay,
it is her birthday,
but you're giving her a theater this weekend for her present.
Surprise, my dream for
awesome.
For her birthday.
Well, let's get formal here, and we'll do a little housekeeping and get started. The Black Box Theater Improv Theater opens this weekend. Grand opening is
Saturday night. Yeah.
You have sort of a soft open invite thing Friday to get your feet wet and make sure that the stage doesn't collapse or no falling lights.
Or things don't fall on people's heads.
Right. And it's located in the Cannery district there.
Yep.
On the end, the east end of the Cannery Row.
Correct. Yep.
By the semi trucks.
Right by the giant pile of semi trucks. Yep.
Right. So for you not familiar with the Cannery area, that is on 3rd Street where Wayne sort of dead ends into 3rd Street downtown, down by all the great restaurants, Therapy and Olive and all that. So even more reason to come down that way.
That's right.
All right. Well, Justin, you gave me a great tour of the theater Sunday, and it was all black. What's that about?
That's
Explain
right.
us a black box thing you've got going on.
It is definitely going to live up to its name. It is definitely black in there. You know, I kind of wanted it to be just kind of this simple hole-in-the-wall place where people can go and enjoy themselves. So it's nothing ornate. It's nothing extravagant. It's just a cool, intimate place where people can come, hopefully watch some really good improv and enjoy themselves. So
the emphasis is on the actual performance.
The emphasis is on the good.
Right.
Right. Good improv. Yeah.
All right. And not a lot of fancy things to distract people from the art.
Yeah. We're not really going to have like a laser light show or anything like that. It's pretty simple. Hopefully, you know, when people come, I hope that first and foremost, they enjoyed the acting and the different unique themes and ideas that were in the show. Secondary, I hope people enjoy themselves and laugh, because improv, mm-hmm. if for no other reason, is just so spontaneous that it generally is pretty funny.
Exactly. Well, let's talk a little bit about the art of improv. You, well, why don't you start out telling us the different types of improv comedy that are out there?
Yeah, probably the thing that most people know is what we call short form improv, which is Whose Line Is It Anyway is probably the thing that
mm-hmm.
people most recognize, right? In that form, you're going to get a specific set of rules. You're going to get this is who you are, this is who you are, this is what you're trying to accomplish, and this is where you're at. And then you're generally going to have somebody who's moderating that whole thing, who kicks it off and then at some point decides to stop the scene. And generally, they don't last very long, you know, maybe anywhere from a couple minutes to like 5 minutes long. And then they do another different scene that has mm-hmm. kind of different themes. So that's probably the most recognizable form. What we're going to do is what's called long form improv. This was actually started in Chicago. At the IO Theater, they created something called the Herald, which kind of gave birth to this. We're not going to be doing the Herald per se.
Right. Tell people what IO stands for that aren't well versed in improv culture.
IO used to be called the Improv Olympic.
Right.
And then I think the Olympics sued them. So I think that's actually true. So they shortened it up. But Glenn Close started something called The Herald, which was just kind of a way to get away from these real short games and try to create something that's a little bit longer and has kind of a little more continuity to it. So, and then out of that has kind of birthed just the long form show where there's really no structure to it. You just start with a suggestion and 45 minutes to an hour later, you had this really hopefully interesting and intertwined improvised sitcom, I guess, in essence.
So in short form improv, there's normally a sort of rotating cast. What in your long form, what you're going to be presenting, how many people would we expect to see in a scene on stage at any given time, and how long would your scenes usually be?
I guess it all kind of varies. It could be anywhere from 1 to 2 people to 4 to 5 people, kind of given the needs of a scene. And the scenes vary too. They can last for just a couple minutes or 5 minutes, 10 minutes, just kind of whatever the subject matter allows and what is going on in the scene. And then generally kind of like what happens on TV or in movies, just kind of at the natural point, it changes to a new scene as the story progresses and moves on to new things and new characters that might have been introduced in prior scenes.
Now your scenes are built on suggestion?
Yeah, we're going to start off with just one audience suggestion. So it could be anything from name a profession or, you know, give us the name of your favorite deceased pet or something like that. And then we're going to take that one phrase and we're going to try to create something kind of unique and original and probably a little less than what you would have guessed we created from that one phrase.
Right. So these aren't by any means sketch or sketch prob where you have a pre-sketched out story or an idea. It's purely on suggestion, on the spot.
Yeah, well, there's absolutely nothing scripted about it. Even when we go up there, we don't know what we're going to do. After we take the audience suggestion, there's no period of time where we go and then try to figure out how we're going to make this happen. Literally, the moment where someone says the suggestion, the show just pretty much starts. So there's nothing written about it. It's 100% improvised. And I don't even really know when it's going to end because we have somebody controlling the lights that at a certain point where it just feels like it's the end of things.
Okay.
They do that.
So you basically have an editor, a tech person that's part of your, you know, the fourth wall.
I have someone who can operate a light switch.
Oh, great.
That's the job definition. So,
well, tell me about the people involved in Black Box Improv Theater.
Yeah, we have a little wide variety of people, starting with a guy that I did 2 shows with at the in the Mateel Theater through the Victoria Theater Association, Ryan Vogel. Just a friend of mine who's really good at improvising, probably a lot better at riding dirt bikes in races, oddly enough. But so he and I did 2 shows. He's going to be a part of it. One of my great friends from college, Sean Golden, he lives out in Columbus, actually. he's going to be a part of it as well. We have Beth and David, who are both from Wright State. Beth just graduated with a degree in, I want to say, theater, musical theater. And then we have Mike and Kristen, both from Columbus. It's a couple of people that have been improvising out there in some different fashions. So, and then myself.
Are they all on board just as performers, or do you have a partner, or folks that have helped you build? Literally, you said last night you were building stage at 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
Are these folks helping you with the theater itself, or are they more just performers?
Yeah, I mean, in limited capacities. Last night, the guy I mentioned, David, from Wright State, he helped me build the stage. And when I say helped me, I mean I watched him from a chair mostly. And I told him we could call it the David Michael stage if he wanted to. So, yeah, I mean, as much as they're very interested in this. I think people in general who are interested in improv and interested in these kind of things downtown, there's just kind of that spirit of what can we do to help. Mm-hmm. Legally speaking, it's my wife and I who are doing this. So, and then of course the cannery has been amazing in getting the construction and everything mm-hmm. going. So it's kind of, I guess, different people have helped at different times.
Okay. So why Dayton? Why that location specifically? What drew you to land where you did?
Yeah, well, I mean, I grew up in north of Dayton in Tip City, and my wife and I moved to Chicago for just a year and a half stint, and I loved just the feel of a downtown where there was stuff going on and people had an interest in it. And so when we moved back to the Dayton area, we really wanted to try to do it in downtown Dayton. There are so many opportunities down there in terms of spaces, but also, you know, this is how you and I met, just mm-hmm. people's interest in things like this. It's so fascinating. And you get so much support from people who say, wow, you're doing this in downtown Dayton. What can I do to help you? Mm-hmm. No one ever says, hey, can you help me with my thing? And then I'll help you with yours. It's really literally, what can I do to help? So I think there are a lot of people who want to have things to do in downtown Dayton. Mm-hmm. And so it just felt like a natural thing to us.
Okay. And so folks can expect to see, when they come in, strictly improv. There's no sort of stand-up nights, that kind of thing.
No.
Amateur night, open mic, all that. You are strictly pure improv.
We're pure improv. Yep. You can come after we grand open things every Friday night and Saturday night at 9:30. You can come in and watch an improvised show. There's nothing scripted, and there's definitely no stand-up comedy. I think a lot of people cross those up, but they are kind of a little bit different avenues of performance.
Now, how did you end up in the art of improv?
College, actually. I went to Wittenberg University, mm-hmm. and I went there to play football, and I hurt myself my freshman year, and I ended up getting an opportunity to get the first pick of classes on campus, and I heard from everyone that the improvisation for the theater class was the first to fill up. So I thought, you know, what the heck? I'll take it. I don't know why, but and I just instantly fell in love with it. The professor that teaches it, Dr. Corwin Georges, is just phenomenal at teaching it and just kind of helping you understand it and realize things about yourself and about improv. So it just became something that I just became passionate about. And, you know, from there, it was just kind of a bug that has never gone away for me.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned you lived in Chicago briefly, the mecca of improv. As anyone in, that follows the culture of improv, the art of improv, knows.
That's right.
There's an improv house on every corner.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, there genuinely almost is. You know, it is one thing that we are a little scared about coming from Chicago to Dayton is in Chicago, you don't have to tell people, hey, we're doing improv and this is what improv is.
Right.
Everybody knows, it's pervasive there. And you can almost name somebody who is kind of a current comedic person and they mm-hmm. have at least at some point graced a stage in Chicago. I mean, we could sit here and just list people one after another.
It is the Motown of improv.
It is the Motown of improv.
And Second City would be the Motown Records of
That's
improv.
Right. So
what drew you to the other, you know, there's smaller, less known improv houses up there? You mentioned you went through Improv Olympic.
Yeah.
As opposed to Second City or Annoyance Theater, what drew you to I.O.?
What drew me to I.O. was, I guess, when I went to Chicago, I had been doing improv for years, and I hadn't really come across a lot of places that were doing long-form improv, and that was the place that started it, mm-hmm. and that really interested me. I think short-form improv is great, and it has certainly a lot of value. It was a very popular show when it was on. Whose Line Is It Anyway? But long-form improv, to me, is it's so real in the relationships mm-hmm. and the characters that people connect so much with those things. So it's not always just a series of kind of, you know, rhythmic laughter. Mm-hmm. It's more a little bit more deeper than that, I guess. So I loved that. I wanted to know what that was all about. So that's how I ended up down there. And just the whole feel of that place was so cool. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just such a, if you've walked into it, I know you have, and it's just like just like a cool hole in the wall that everyone gets together to enjoy watching improv. So
it's like food. You know, it's the best food in the little dives
that not everybody knows about.
Exactly. And when we were talking the other day, you said you had in your mind, I need a theater. But after being in Chicago, you know, people do improv in a laundromat.
Yeah.
In a Chinese restaurant.
Right.
You know, you're really bringing the true culture of improv up here.
I really hope so. What I hope is not only from, you know, the actual entertainment value, but also just the feel of it. I want to feel like you just walked into Chicago and mm-hmm. sat down in an improv theater. Mm-hmm. I think that's something really cool and something you got to drive a long way to find. So to have that in Dayton would just be really super cool. So,
well, the premier improv house in the world right now is a black box theater known as the Upright Citizens Brigade.
That's right.
In the basement of a grocery store in Chelsea in New York.
Yep.
And any given night, you will see writers there from 30 Rock, Saturday Night Live, Jon Stewart, you know, Daily Show,
that's
all
right.
that. And that is my purpose when I go to New York. And so I was very excited to walk into your theater and see it look so much like UCB.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited.
That's great to hear.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's a good thing. And so tell us what your plans are, you know, as far as the future. Right now, you just want to get off the ground.
That's right.
Will you be offering any kind of training in the future or expand into other arts within that space?
Yeah, well, we definitely want to get to the point where we're teaching long form improv. I feel like people should probably come watch it to not only know what it is, but make sure that I'm not a hack first. So we're not going to offer that just right away, but that will be around the corner. And it would be great for people that just want to learn how to communicate better and deal with teamwork and different things like that. But also, you know, people who want to actually get to the point of performing, we're going to have the opportunity to kind of take your way through classes and learn and get to a stage at some point. So, and then, you know, if Dayton is supportive of it and people come, we'd like to expand shows too. So
great. Well, why don't you tell us how people can find out about the Black Box Improv Theater?
Absolutely.
What presence can they find you in .com or Facebook, et cetera?
Yeah, both. The website is DaytonBlackBox.com. On that website, you can read a little bit about us, about what we're doing. But also, that's a great place where you can buy tickets. There's no additional fee if you buy them online. So if you want to get your tickets online instead of the door. Facebook.com/TheBlackBoxImprov. You can like us on there. We'll try to keep things updated. Get people information as we've been doing the construction and stuff. We've been putting pictures up so people can kind of get a feel for that too. So
great. How many shows per weekend are you starting out with?
We're going to start with one show on Friday at 9:30, doors open at 9, and one show on Saturday, 9:30, doors open at 9.
Okay. And is this sort of, all ages? Can people under 18 come, you know, if they like, or?
Yeah. You know, a lot of people ask me that question. Here's the thing. It's improv, so I don't know what it's going to be like. Mm-hmm. There might be some nights where it could be a little bit rougher than you want your 16-year-old to mm-hmm. watch, but then there are other nights where maybe it's not. And our hope is not to be real vulgar with the way we go about things, but mm-hmm. We really want to be smart and intelligent with the humor there. So we're not putting an age limit on it. You know, I think it's probably something that lends itself more to the 18 and older crowd, maybe 16 and older. So
sort of, well, improvise how you go.
If you see
a party bus of a bachelorette party pull up and come to the show before they hit the town.
That's right.
You might have a different show that night.
I'm going to have signs for different scenarios that pop up.
There you go. Absolutely. Great. Well, Justin Howard, thank you for being our guest. Did you want to extend a giveaway?
Yeah, if anyone is listening and they're interested in coming to a show, we'd love to give away a couple of tickets for Saturday night.
Awesome. The big opening weekend.
Yeah. So 47th caller, is that too many?
What should we go with, Juliet?
Let's do third caller again. That's a good number.
All right. Well, third caller will get a pair of tickets to the opening weekend of Dayton's hottest improv. Dayton's newest improv.
And that sounds like a strip club.
You've seen the best. Now come see the rest. No. All right, Justin, thank you so much for coming and hanging out with us. And we're very excited about this whole new art that's coming into town and a new business, of course, to bring people downtown.
Thank you, Shelley.
You're welcome.
And thank you, Shelley and Justin, for the great interview. And if you want to go see it, be the third caller at 769-1998. That's 769-1998. Winner gets a pair of tickets to Saturday night's show. It's opening weekend at the Black Box Improv Theater in downtown Dayton. We've got all the details on our Facebook page. We're at facebook.com/kaleidoscope radio. Coming up, more good stuff for your ears. We'll be telling you about a show that's coming to Ghost Light Coffee in the 10 o'clock hour. But first, let's hear some new music. This is a brand new single from Stars. Their new album is coming out this fall, but we've got a little bit of a preview track. This is the Theory of Relativity, and you're hearing it on Kaleidoscope on WISO.